Hello and welcome to our Divine Alchemy gathering. It's so good to be here with you. As a time stamp, today is October 4th. One thing for certain, in these high frequencies, we are going to have lots of shift. So be prepared for that going forward in these classes with the schedule. I promise you, I will not be as delayed as I was this month getting the calendar out. I just had like an excessive amount on my plate. It's just one thing after another, and then a lot of incoming DMs and messages concerning today. Okay, which we're going to talk about for in a second. But since we're on the call live, I just want to remind everybody, I have elected to unmute you all when you first come into the class. I have specific reasons for that. You know me, I'm always about self-empowerment. And at one point, I realized that if I'm bringing you in on mute, you're not in your power. I'm in your power. Okay. So, as that thought was coming to me very, very clearly, I made the decision to take you all off of silence and give you access to, coming in live so that when you are entering the class, you're not on mute. Anything you say will be heard by everybody. So it's your responsibility now as an empowered community member to mute yourself. And I will no longer be muting you because that's not my job. As funny as that might sound, and it sounds funny to me too, even saying this, right? As funny as that might sound, the truth of that is enormous. Okay. One thing is for certain, for those of you that really know me, you know I don't want to take responsibility for anybody else's power. Never. It's never my desire to do that. My goal is always self-empowerment. So just be mindful that when you are coming in, you are unmuted. So if you have stuff going on in the background or whatever, and you think that, your fellow community members might not want to hear it, just put yourself on mute. And then, as the class gets going, please feel free to raise your hand. And if you have something to share or add or a question or anything like that, please feel free to come on and suss out whatever's going on with you. Okay. So we have a lot of intensified energy, and it's intentional. It's intentional and it's purposeful for today, for the beginning of October. And when we look at what is taking place in the energies in the solar system with the planetary alignments, there is no mistaking why certain things happen on certain days. And it's like, if we take the costumes off of the key players, right? If we take the costume off of the government and just set that aside, if we take the costume off of the fearmongers and porn pushers, porn information, the fear porn that comes out. If we take the costume off of them and put them to the side, if we take the costume off of ourselves and anybody else that's in our play, that's in our reality, then it all just becomes energy, right? And energy is energy. And when we look at the energies, we have to look at the cosmos, because that's where it all begins. Many, many, many years ago, I had a client who actually became a good friend of mine, much older than me, very seasoned in astrology. And it was my first like real deep dive into astrology. I was always very interested in astrology for a long time, even in my childhood. My mother dabbled in it. But this woman was, her name was Carol, was really the first person that came along and explained it to me in the way that she did, you know? And she said, you know, you have to remember that when you're looking at astrology, you have, you know, you have actors, which are the signs, and you have the stage that's being set, and then you have the action that's going to be taken, right? And the planets play into all of that. Okay, so it's like the it's like Mercury. When Mercury steps up, the stage is set for Mercury energy. And it doesn't matter who is standing on the stage. Every single person in the world is standing on the stage, right? But then you bring in a key component to it and give it, you know, an energy like the sign of, let's say, Gemini. Okay. And so now you have, you know, your actor, you have Gemini stepping in, and the stage is being set for Mercury, and it's kind of like the costume that they're wearing for the moment. And it's so the stage gets set with these energies. And as that actor steps forward, the whole world is part of that play. It's part of that experience that's taking place. And so when you look at it this way and you take the actual costumes off of the outer reality, right? Strip the government of the government costume. Let's strip the fear porn pushers of their costume. Let's you know, take the costume off of the people on Twitter, the people on Instagram, the people on Facebook, wherever. Let's just take all the costumes off. But the one place we have to look at is the cosmos and say, what's taking place there that's creating this opportunity for this experience that we're all participating in on the stage that is the Earth? Okay, because every one of us is involved in that. So when we look at it, today couldn't be any different. Today was very purposeful in the EBS announcement, the broadcast announcement, today in particular, because today is a very powerful day. It's a very auspicious day. We're looking at shifts that are bringing us into the age of Aquarius. This is it. This is what it is. From now until we get into the end of 2024, this is what it's all about. And so today's, you know, experience, the energy building to this emergency broadcast message was, you know, dusted with regular fear and then amplified with the fear porn that was being spread, and then you know, a little bit of information over here from this party over here, and a little information from that party over there. And suddenly the world was in an uproar, thinking that, you know, because of everything coming out, that there was a sudden death match being played, right? And that's how it felt for a lot of people. And it had purpose. It had purpose. For those that are still not paying attention, for those that are not present, it served as a wake-up call to wake up, take a look from a different perspective, right? I saw a bumper sticker yesterday, but it was on somebody's window, and it said, "Think" in big letters, right? Capital letters, huge, while it's still free, right? Critical thinking is going to be always is going to be our best friend. So when we look at the events that are playing out, and we start to realize that we have to take the focus off the event itself and then turn to the cosmos and say, okay, what's taking place in the cosmos that we need to know about, right? And I'm not going to bore you with the planetary details of it because there's key players, key elements. One of them in particular is Black Moon Lilith, okay? And Black Moon Lilith is a very fierce warrior-like energy. And what Black Moon Lilith is doing is, and it's a planet like hardly anybody talks about, right? But I've been following it for years and years and years, started many moons ago with someone named Kai Pacha. And I'm talking, you know, probably a good 10 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that. This man, Kai Pacha, who is in Costa Rica, he's an astrologer. It's very, very interesting. And so following him from then, and back then it was, you know, known that Black Moon Lilith was going to stir up the divine feminine, shake up the divine feminine so that the divine feminine can start to come into their power as the patriarchy is collapsing. And that's what we're seeing. There's no other way for it to have a stronghold other than through fear. And if we can remember that when we see things like this pop up, like the EBS broadcast today, because I had a lot of people asking me about it, okay? Well, and I, you know, my first inclination was to say, I scheduled my class on that day. If I thought there was going to be a problem, we wouldn't have had class on that day, right? And certainly, if I got a run for the hills message, I would have been telling all of you, hey, we got to run for the hills. Let's plan a meetup place because, you know, we're greater in numbers, right? Better together. And we're going to meet up in the middle of here and, you know, colonize or, you know, create a new opportunity for everybody. But you know, that was not what was coming through. What was coming through was that these are huge energies. There's a huge shift that's taking place today between Venus and the Black Moon Lilith. And it's putting a lot of things in perspective for a lot of people. And one of the ways that that is happening is through the breaking down, the tearing down of the old paradigms. And one of them is the government. We've been talking about this for 3 years, right? This is no secret. So when something amplifies, that is raising the frequency, that is bringing things into power, that is shifting the scales. If you think about Libra, Libra's like the scales of justice, right? And so the scales of justice have not been in the favor of humanity. The scales of justice have been tipped to the tipping point of the patriarchy, who basically is controlling everything. And we can include the government in that because we are under, or, you know, we can choose to perceive that we're under government restriction, jurisdiction, however you want to say it, right? Playing out the timeline that, you know, the government is the power for us, right? It's really not our truth. Because again, that's the illusionary field out there of the third dimension as it collapses. The reason it's so hard to understand it, that it's not real, is because we were born into it. So it's always felt like it's real, right? So when we look at this and we look at today's date and we look at, you know, Black Moon Lilith taking that bow and arrow, right? Let's that arrow fly and it's got Venus attached to it and the flame of Venus on the point of that arrow. And it's heading into humanity for the wake up, right? To activate the divine feminine in all of us, not just women, but all of us, men too, right? If we've been a little heavy on the one side of being a hunter gatherer, then it's time to come back and sit in our heart and, you know, really be present with what everything that is taking place. Okay, so it's not just for women, it's for men too. It's every aspect of our lives, every aspect of our reality. So we have to pay attention. We have another powerful day coming on the 14th, right? Because October is eclipse season. We have two super huge eclipses taking place, okay? And so one of the most important things to do is when you are hearing that there's something coming down the pike, right? Like it's been talked about, oh, they're going to test the emergency broadcasting system. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And then you start to hear the fear porn come out. Oh, it's going to be a frequency. It's going to target these people. It's going to do this to you. It's going to do that to them and blah, 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 right? On and on and on and on. It has to do that, right? As much as I don't like saying that, it has to do that. It has to do that because the souls that are supposed to wake up, that are not yet awake, that have not come into consciousness, are going to need that information to get them to, you know, be shaken awake, right? Hey, what is going on here, right? And the other part of that is the souls that have made the decision that they're not playing out the rest of this because they either don't need to, or they were only coming in supporting the role, or they don't want to be here anymore because they're exhausted and they can't handle it. Whatever their reason is for leaving, it's going to help move them out of here. So everything has great purpose, and we have to start to see that so that we're not playing the game the wrong way. We're not living our reality the wrong way. We're not living from fear-based emotions. We want to be living from higher consciousness. We want to be living from that place that empowers us, right? Like Black Moon Lilith is doing today. So this is what's taking place. And this is why it's important to look around and see what's really going on. Majority of humanity, and you all know this is very true, a majority of humanity does not invest any time or energy in astrology at all. Now, I'm going to say for a good period of time, quite a few years, I stepped away from astrology because it wasn't making sense for me. Okay. But now with these planetary shifts, we've talked about crystals taking on new roles, new responsibilities, right? Crystals have changed. Their consciousness has shifted. It's up-leveled. So crystals are wanting new jobs, if you will, for lack of a better way to say it. And the same can be said for the planets, as the planets are now also shifting in ways that are going to be more in alignment with these 5D frequencies. Because the higher we go, everything around us has to change. It has to shift. It can't stay the same. It's got to move too. Otherwise, we're not going anywhere, right? And that essence, the awareness that we have to everything around us, is what's most important, because the visual of it might not change. The visual of it will, for the most part, stay the same for a while until everything catches up, and then the visual changes too. Okay? Because it's all about feelings and the little things that we're lining up with and the little synchronicities that we're having in our life that are unfolding. Okay. And so we want to look for the things that are making sense to us. And so astrology has started to make sense to me again in the way that the planets are now stepping forward to transact these changes, these shifts that need to happen in order to bring us into the age of Aquarius. And so the eclipse on the 14th is going to be a solar eclipse in Libra. solar eclipses, if you're not sure what that is, a solar eclipse, when we have a solar eclipse, it involves the sun, and the sun is putting a spotlight on the things that need to be seen or the things that need to be brought into clarity, if you will. Okay. And so this first eclipse that's going to be a solar eclipse in Libra, Libra is about balance, harmony. It likes order. It doesn't like chaos. So what this solar eclipse is going to do, it's going to shine a spotlight on the things that are not in balance. It's going to shine a spotlight on the things that maybe are unseen, that we don't have knowledge of, that we may be shocked by. Okay. And so this is very, very powerful, powerful energy, because things are going to come to light. They might not be nice. They might not be making us happy to see them. We might want to see them or need to see them so we can understand and think, oh boy, that makes so much sense, right? But we might not feel happy about it because it's validating something that we knew all along, which is the reason that maybe we've struggled, right? So we need to take this in context for whatever is presenting and remember that we played the game under the illusion or the guise of the third dimensional infrastructure. And that is changing now. So everything in our reality is going to have to change. Okay. We'll be talking about a little bit more of that in depth in our next full moon gathering, because as we get through the month of October, that full moon is going to hit on October 28th. And so we'll be talking more with that full moon gathering about this. But right now, I wanted to give you some of the small bits of information here, and then we're going to talk about working with this energy. Okay. And so this solar eclipse is gonna, show us things that maybe, were hidden from us, that we didn't know about, that we didn't see. Things are going to start to make sense and things are going to unfold. And then when we have the lunar eclipse in 2 weeks from then, lunar eclipse is all about the moon. It's about the shadows of the moon. So that eclipse could very well shine a light on the shadow areas, areas that do not get exposed to light, which will then make things even more clear, right? Libra will be, because it is the scales of justice and it likes balance and it likes harmony, is going to be about closings, endings, culminations, right? So it's going to bring things to an end. It may take people, places, and things out of our lives. And we have to be okay with that, because what is happening is a reorganization or a juxtaposition of our frequency and our surroundings. Okay. So whatever is not a match is going to have to go. Now, if you've been doing your work and you've been paying attention, then it'll be obvious to you, right? You'll go and have a meetup with that friend that you don't really get to spend a whole lot of time with like you used to. And then suddenly you have a meetup planned. And when you're having the meetup, you're in that company and recognizing, oh, something is different here. I have nothing in common with this person anymore. I can't even see myself fitting into this dynamic anymore, because what was is no longer. So when that happens, it usually means that one has elevated and the other one has stayed the same, or the other one has gone further down in frequency. And so we have to look at this and we have to be okay. Might feel sad, you might feel bad about it, but at the same time, you have to feel good too and use it as a marker for yourself to indicate where you are, right? So if we use it as a marker, then we're amplifying our state of being instead of getting caught with the emotions that might be taking us in a different direction, away from the purpose of this coming together is. Okay. That is so important to have clarity on. Joe?
Just saying that, like, I feel like you know better than anybody. My issue is that when I see things coming to an end, or like I see relationships not going the direction that I want them to go or think they should go, I go into fix it mode.
Yeah.
I like either raise that person up or try to like find a way to make it like you're saying, just close the door and let that be that.
Yeah. Well, I think most people do that. I think most people want to go into fix it mode because if we're not paying attention and we're not sitting in our awareness, we're not present for what is, then we may be looking at that person and go, no, wait, I have the life preserver. I have the life jacket. I have the oxygen tank. Let me fix you. Let me save you. Let me get it out. Wait, we could do this. We could do this. Here's the rope. Hang on. Don't go under. I've got you, right? And that's actually not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to keep doing what we're doing and just know that the path is changing for us and what is presenting in front of us is just not working anymore. We can't align with it, right? Whether it's somebody new or it's somebody that we've known forever and ever and ever, we have to be so present that we recognize we're not here to throw in a life preserver. You know, when we do that, when somebody comes and goes, I feel lost. What the heck are you doing? Because every time I look at you, you're glowing. Every time I look at you, you're amazing. Every time I tune into you, you just, the words you speak, the things you say, the positivity coming from you. What are you doing? How are you getting there? I need that, right? And then you say, well, you know, it's about changing your thoughts. And then changing your words, and then changing your actions. And this is how you can do it, right? And maybe you take them under your wing because you have the time and the ability to do that. Maybe you send them to my YouTube channel or Arlene's YouTube channel or somebody else's YouTube channel, or you direct them to the community here for, you know, their own self-growth, right? But you have to know what is your limitation because you still have to be able to maintain your journey. You cannot carry somebody else on your back while you're trying to do your journey. We don't do that. We didn't come here for that, okay? So this is where it gets kind of tricky because I see people wanting to save people all the time, and you can't do that. You can't, especially if this person is far down the rabbit hole and, you know, can't step up on their own. You just can't carry them. What we want to do, which is why we're in this community, is we want to connect with like-minded people to keep amplifying our state of being, right? To keep amplifying our well-being, our sense, our knowing, our self-empowerment. Okay, that's what we want to do. We don't want to have somebody that's going to be dead weight, that it, no matter what we're doing, it's just not getting it. You're going to come across those people too, where no matter what you do, they keep saying they want it, but they don't really want it. And then they're dead weight. You can't carry that. If you're carrying that, I guarantee you, you're not tuned in for the higher information that's coming through. You're just not. It's not possible because now you're muddied up by what is taking place, right? We are not here to save others. We're here to to amplify ourselves. We're here to ascend our soul, our souls, our state of consciousness, and move ourselves forward. Does that make sense?
It does. I just still like, I guess I choose to feel like an asshole writing somebody off. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, but then that's a reflection of where you're holding lack, that you may need to be playing into that you're still needing to engage in that, right? So we have to look at that. That would be something for you to sit and journal and be like, why do I feel like an asshole when I write somebody off? Why do I feel bad when I clearly see this person is just not getting it, not gonna get it, and it's just taking up my time, space in my head. Now it's redirected me away from my path, right? People will show up to redirect you, because this is how you, all of you, not just Joe, have signed up to play this game, right? To be here at this time. You signed up for challenges. Hey, I'm gonna give myself a challenge, right? I mean, it could look like something, as simplistic as not having a ton of likes on your YouTube channel. I went through that, right? I experienced that years and years ago when I didn't even have one view on my channel. And my mentor back then, and I'm talking about years and years ago, I used to listen to her say, before I even had a YouTube channel, I used to listen to her say, stop looking. Because she would tell other students who did, stop looking at who's looking. That's irrelevant. Stop looking at that, right? Stop looking. It's irrelevant, because the minute you take your eyes off of that, they're going to show up, because you're blocking the door by focusing on that energy. Is that what you want to attract? No. Well, you are, because you're focusing on it. So stop focusing on it, right? And then you think to yourself, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm distracting myself away from the good information that's coming in because I'm too worried about this, right? Or you're worried about, your friend that you used to see all the time that you don't see anymore for the last 3 years. You hardly see this person, and they pop up and go like, when are you going to make time for me? And then you go, okay, let's go do something. And they're like, do you feel like going out Friday night? Get a couple drinks. We'll get some burgers and stuff. And you have to go, that's not me, but we could go take a walk in the park or something like that. And they're like, yeah, I'm not really interested in that. I'm not interested in taking a walk in the park, right? And you have to kind of know, like, where are you headed? Where are you headed? What does your footpath look like? What does it have on it? Are you following your breadcrumbs to create your highest excitement, your greatest desire, the greatest happiness and joy you've ever had? Or are you too worried about somebody else who may be here in the picture to serve as a complete distraction, because that's what you programmed into your soul blueprint as a way to challenge yourself and see if you could beat the distraction? It's like playing Miss Pac-Man game or something, right? Do you understand?
Me and these stupid challenges. Yeah, I understand.
We program all of it in. Is that
Idea.
good?
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Thank
Okay.
you.
You're welcome.
I ever
Loretta.
get a look at that blueprint? Fuck, man.
You what?
Sorry. I said, when I get a look at that blueprint,
Yeah.
never mind. Don't mind me, guys.
Loretta. No, I just wanted to share that I've been going through that, all those things that you're talking about. I had experiences recently, someone very close to me, but I felt like I had to share some time with her, and just and it was so clear to me, the separation. It was so black, almost black and white. And I was new. I was like, this could be the last time we actually hang out like this. And that was, I know, I was fine with it. And I remember once someone telling me, you can't take the people with you. Like, you can't carry, like you say, you can't carry them. You can't take everyone with you, Loretta. Not everyone's meant to be with you. No, you
And I
can't.
used to have a hard time with that. I was like, but why not? I can help them. But I let go of that totally now.
Yeah, you it's too distracting. You're not
It
going to
is
be
very distracting.
amazing at painting if you're distracted worrying about somebody else's journey in your head. I mean, listen, if it's a family member, it could be a different story, right? If it's one of your kids or something like that, obviously, it's a little different. But like, you have to look at it for what it is because, before incarnating, we did some crazy things on the other side, not realizing how it was going to look or appear or feel or be here. So, we have to just look at that and be like, this is what I scheduled, right? But it gives you what I love about this, that you had this experience, is that it gives you a breath check in a way for where you are in your journey compared to where you were in your journey.
Oh, yeah, totally did.
That is so valuable. I can't even express how valuable that is when you can see your own personal growth measured, right? It's like measured right there for you to look at. It's
Yeah, it
like,
was right in front of me the whole time, yeah.
yeah, it's like going into your car and going, do I need an oil change? And taking out the dipstick and sticking the stick in and going like, oh, look at that. Nope, I don't need the oil change. I'm topped off, right? You need to measure sometimes, and sometimes somebody else can do that for us that we can't see for ourselves.
Yeah,
You know?
definitely.
Yeah. So good. Thank you for sharing that.
You can't take them with you. They have their own path.
They have their own path. And you have to remember, sometimes somebody else is working through something that we know nothing about.
Right. Yeah.
We know nothing about it, and there's a reason for the soul. And I say this every time, soul contracts at play, whatever the karmic repercussion from another life was, that is also a big part of it. So no judgments. We just let it be whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Wherever it's going. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. And then you made a new friend that's really wanting to be in alignment that doesn't know how, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So you let go of one and suddenly somebody else comes through the doorway and it's a painting buddy that you can go painting with, and there's more alignment. There's more alignment. And this person actually said to you, I'd love to, understand so much more. How do I do that? Right. And like you're a catalyst for them to be able to change now. So, but had you not cleared that pathway, you would have been focused there and not open to receiving what's coming in.
True. Yes.
Right. Whether you end up mentoring them or not, or putting them someplace else in another direction and just maintaining your art relationship with them, right? That's what you have to now look at with this person. Do I want to maintain an art relationship with her, or do I want to be a mentor? Because that changes everything.
Correct. Yeah.
Makes it, much harder. So perfect. Do you see? We had stuff to talk about. I love it. Thank you, Loretta.
Thank
Okay.
you.
Oh, you're welcome. Arlene?
So I wasn't even sure if I was going to say anything, but it wouldn't stop like the chatter. So I had to say it. It was back to what Joe was talking about. And a great, I guess, analogy that was given to me before that I always find really helps sometimes in that where we have to think about like the caterpillar becoming a butterfly, right? It's like when they're in the cocoon and how, when you think about it from the human perspective, where it's, sometimes our need or our want to help is because we're uncomfortable watching them being uncomfortable when it's something with us. So it's like when you think about the butterfly or like in the cocoon and it's getting ready to kind of open out of the cocoon, if you help it and it comes out, then it hasn't like gained its strength and then it dies. So it's like that analogy where it's like sometimes, it's understanding that people need to go through what they need to go through to help them become the butterfly and gain the strength and bravery and courage that they need to move forward. So even though it makes us uncomfortable, that's kind of like our own ego things that makes us uncomfortable. So it's understanding that
Yeah.
you can just let them be and do their thing as much as you want to help. But by helping them, you're not giving them, you're more enabling them than being of service to them.
Yes.
That's basically
And
just
enabling, yeah, and enabling is not what we want to do, right? Yeah, that kind of takes us in a whole nother direction. That's such a beautiful perspective to come from when you are connecting with somebody who, is really struggling. And most of the time, people that are struggling don't even know that they're struggling. They wouldn't connect to look for help, right? But we can see what's taking place. We are powerful enough to know what's taking place. And as Arlene has so eloquently put, let them come out of their cocoon in the way that they need to, because if they're not asking, we're not offering, right? There's a rule in the cosmos, in the cosmic law, in the scheme of things, that says there's no solicitation of advice not asked for. Okay. And I have always remembered that. If somebody does not ask me, I do not offer, because it is not my job to do that. That comes from a place of ego when we are trying to offer unsolicited advice and it's not been asked for. So, very beautifully put, Arlene, we need to just step back and, look at what that's mirroring to us. If we're uncomfortable with the person struggling, look at why that's uncomfortable to us, and then work through that so that you can heal whatever it is taking place for you, right? So good, beautiful. I love it. Miss Jill.
Hi, so I was thinking about this conversation. It's very interesting. I was having a talk with Adam not too long ago. It was like maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago. And I said, my life is so different. I feel like I'm in a completely new, different, totally other world than I was 2 to 3 years ago. And I don't run into anybody I used to work with. I don't run into anybody that I know anymore. All these new people have cropped up in my life, blah, 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 right? And then the following week, I went to a store and ran into a coworker that I used to work with. And I was like, okay, universe, they're still out there. And then another person who's also my hairstylist from out of nowhere cropped up, and we decided to go for a walk together. And we realized, actually, I guess it was not so much like, I mean, we have a lot of in common still, but that there's still something that she needed from me. There's still something that she and I needed from each other. So we went for a walk together and had a great time. And then just yesterday, I think it was, another person I used to work with sent me a random text from out of nowhere and said, oh, hey, I ran across this old picture of us and it just brought back great memories. And I thought we could get coffee or lunch together sometime, which I also found very intriguing. And we haven't had lunch or anything together yet, but I'm curious. I'm remaining open and curious to whatever all these little ting ting tings from the universe are telling me. So yeah, I'm open to.
They could be, again, if we go back to what's going to happen with the solar eclipse energy, where we're having closure, could be on a cyclical basis, like, if you were friends with somebody and it was, let's say, it was like at sea level, right? And there was no depth to it. Then you might come back together with them again and explore that and see, is there anything that has evolved? Is there a shift or change in any way, shape, or form? And if not, then that will come as a closure and an ending, and then that'll be that with that person. You'll probably never see them again, right? You won't run into them again. So there's something powerful with each event that takes place in our lives. we're capable of gaining a lot of insight from these communings, like when we're coming together and we're having coffee, a meetup, whatever, with somebody. We may be looking at that, or they may be looking at it from like, remember when we used to do this, or remember when we used to go out, or remember when, and then you get together and it's like it flatlines and you're like, was I even participating in that original storyline with that person, right? Because it could be really kind of bizarre in the way that it just feels like it never was anything, okay? So I feel like any time we're called back to a situation, it's a very powerful moment for us, especially if we can use it to measure where we are, listen to the conversation, what's taking place. Does this person factor in? Is this person evolving? Can they fit in now as a new friendship, a new connection, whatever, because they've evolved enough to where I am evolved, and maybe they're coming back in as a new connection under these shifts. Because one of the things we haven't talked about yet is relationship shifts, and relationships are going to be shifting. The dynamic of relationships, traditional relationship roles are going to be shifting. It's going to be changing as we get into more of the age of Aquarius. I don't know if we're really going to see it in 2024, but definitely going to start to see it in 2025, 2026, definitely 2027 as things change. But at the same time, as we're moving through relationships, it's going to be an opportunity for us to, what do I want to say here? Commit to our truth, I guess is the best way to put it, right? What is our truth? Can we stand in that truth? God bless you, whoever sneezed.
Thank you. That means my mic has to be on.
Yeah,
Got it.
I got you. So if it's for us to look at these different aspects and connections with others, understanding what is in alignment. Do we take that in and spend time, give time to it? Or are we looking at it going like, this really doesn't factor in? It's a nice person, but I can't see that it would factor into anything that's taking place with me. And then move it along. Because remember, if we let somebody or something take up space or residency in our doorway, nothing else is coming through, right? And even with relationships, it's like we're closing out the windows. Whatever's not working, it's going to be moving on, even if it has to come to a fiery end and crash and burn within the relationship. If it's not working, if there's anything that's out of alignment, that's out of balance, that's not on your soul path, if you're in resistance to letting it go, it's going to end in a way that's not going to be kind, because we have to be okay with everything as we are starting to evolve, right? It's about allowing for these new realities, these new pathways, these new opportunities, new relationships that are higher evolved to come in. Even the relationship with ourself is going to change. It's going to be changing in some way, shape, or form. And again, we want to make sure that we are considering ourselves first, because we are in birthing energies, right? It's the only way I can think of to say it. Birthing energies, where we are becoming ripe with new creation. So,
Yes, which explains this dream I had totally. Yeah.
okay, because this is the most important thing, right? Most important thing is understanding that we are in the greatest creator energy right now. We're going to talk about that next. that's going to change things on so many levels for all of us, right? Especially those who are creating content or those that are doing their spiritual work for a living or livelihood, whatever way that is. It could be, you know, one-on-ones or teaching or whatever. It doesn't matter how it looks. Could be in the botanical world, could be whatever way, right? Teaching art, anything like that, right? Wherever we're feeling aligned and called to. So it's really important for us to not let anything get in the way of these higher level creator codes that are coming in. We are needing to birth these new realities, and many of us are going to be anchoring and birthing these new realities that are going to be assisting and supporting humanity activating their ascension codes. They're activating their next level, stepping up into themselves. Think about the handful of people that are in this community, right? The handful of people maybe make up, I don't know, 0.08% of the world. You know, it's not even like 1% of the world where the understanding is here, right? Because I could tell you, just look at my YouTube channel, right? For the amount of people that really understand me. And I see it all the time. Because there's a way to assess a channel to see if somebody's following is really theirs or if it's bots, right? Like somebody approached me the other day for creative content. And so when I looked at the channel was 85% bots, right? So you know that they paid for those followers, and that content means nothing to me. So it's not anybody that I want to do business with, right? But that's where I have to also sit in that and say, well, you know, where am I aligned? Am I going to do that just because they approached me for something, or am I going to keep myself in the higher, like that higher realm, right? So it's very important to stand in your truth, right? That's one of the things we talked about, standing in your truth, knowing who you are and understanding what are you about? What do you want? What do you want to be known for, right? What do you value? Yes?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and so that's why, like, when she contacted me, I was open to it. And if we end up going to coffee or lunch or whatever, great. If we don't, we don't. One thing I can honestly say is I'm not afraid to let go of anything.
Yeah, that's good. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yep. We have to be fearless right now, especially we've got Black Moon Lilith pushing us forward, right? It's pushing us forward in all new ways. We can't fail. The only way to fail is to let somebody come in and muddy up your discernment, muddy up your cognitive awareness, right? Where you're following them down their rabbit hole. Don't do that. We don't do that. So good. Good. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it's very powerful. Very powerful changes underway that are taking place. And, you know, these shifts that are happening, especially this month of eclipses, this is what's setting us up for the 2024 shift into the age of Aquarius. This is it. This is why we're so focused on it. That's why we're bringing back some astrology. We're bringing back some planetary consciousness into this, because when you look at it from a place of oneness, we're everything. We're the planets. We're the Black Moon Lilith. We're each other. You are me. I am you. We are one. We are we. Everyone is, you know, an aspect of each other, right? And we keep showing up here for ourselves and for each other. And the more we can do that, the more we're going to find ourselves in undeniable states of renewal, creating new opportunities, shedding out those old habits, patterns, belief systems, paradigms, routines, rituals, all that stuff that just doesn't work anymore because it can't follow us to where we're going, We need to shake it all up. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to see that rolling through October. It's going to be like, you know, mountains collapsing, like Mount Rushmore collapsing. And we're going to see, you know, a lot of things like the volcanoes erupting. We're going to see a lot of things. Like, just take it with a grain of salt. Just be like, it has to happen. It has to come up. It has to purge, right? Now, is Mount Rushmore really going to collapse? That's the picture they're giving me for the purpose of saying, you know, big things are going to happen, right? Big things, not necessarily Mount Rushmore collapsing, but big things are going to happen that are going to be like, whoa, you know, eye-opening, jaw-dropping, but we want to be okay with it. The old models must collapse. The old paradigms are done. The medical system is not sustainable anymore. It's not trustworthy, right? People can't find trust in the medical community. They're turning more toward herbal medicine. Okay. And so we are here to support all of this, right? We're each doing our part to support all of this. Our idea, perception, belief about reality is going to change. And a little bit into that, and I know you are feeling it, you're feeling different things happening. It looks the same in the outer world, but you're noticing things shifting, right? So let me share a couple of interesting, funny things with you that happened to me, and you'll be able to see, because when they happen to you, you'll be like, oh, that's what's happening, right? So I've been having a problem with the sink here at the house, and the bathroom sink, the main bathroom sink, has been jamming up, right? So you turn on the water, the sink starts filling up with water, and it's not draining. And I'm like, is it my imagination, or is this sink is like, you know, something wrong with it? Nope, there's something wrong with the sink. Okay, is this my emotions? Nope, not your emotions. Is this Beth's emotions? Nope, not Beth's emotions. Okay, so I kept sitting on it thinking, like, where is the answer to this? Where, what could this possibly be? And then when I let go, you're going to really love this. When I let go, the message was, it's the sink. The sink is broken. The sink is old. In 13 years, it hasn't been updated, and maybe even past 13 years and beyond. So would you just get a tool and fix the darn sink, because the sink is jammed up? It's just a simple jam up of the sink. It's not your emotions. It's nothing like that. It's just a real physical problem. And I was like, oh, you know, not me. Okay. So the same night that I get that, it's like 11 o'clock at night, right? And Beth is already in her bedroom. And so I come out of my bedroom and I turn the lights on in the hall, and, you know, I'm walking through, and I'm like, I said out loud, darn it, if I only had a wire hanger. They don't make wire hangers anymore. I could take the wire hanger, unwrap it. Remember, like, you twist it at the top, right? Unwrap it. Then I could take my pliers out of my toolbox. And I'm saying this as I'm walking through the hall, right? And bend the hook of it. And then I'd have something to fish down the sink drain with, right? And all of a sudden I hear Beth go, like, who are you talking to? And I'm like, I'm talking to myself. And with that, I open the closet door. And at the same time I open the closet door, this whole closet, her coat falls off the hanger. The hanger it was on pops out of the closet as her coat is falling and smacks me in the chest. And I look down to see what hit me and fell. Do you know it was a wire hanger? Now, I am going to tell you that when we moved into the other house, we got rid of, like, all erroneous hangers, and we bought all of those felt covered hangers, you know, the one that you could hang and then hang one underneath it. Do I use that? No, I don't. But I like the shape that it keeps, the form that it keeps, right? And it's nicer, much nicer than wire or the plastic or anything like that. So this wire hanger flies out at me, hits me in the chest, falls on the floor, and I'm like, How the hell, where would we get a wire hanger from? Like, I have no idea how we got it, but it somehow or another, and this is a brand new coat, just bought last year. So it's not like it even went to the cleaners or anything like that, right? So I take the hanger, do what I do, and I can't even tell you, I'll spare you the details. I cleared probably, I don't know, 20 years of gunk out of the sink, right? And now that sink runs beautiful. There is no problem with that sink. The water drains the minute the water is on. It's going down the drain. There is no issue. There's no stop up. There's no nothing, right? It was, so in that moment, the desire to have that wire hanger, because I knew that's the only thing that was going to help me in that moment, because I could not foresee anything else, because I did not have any kind of tool that was going to go down that sink and fish out what I needed to fish out. So did I manifest that wire hanger? Yeah, probably, right? In my quantum field, because I needed a wire hanger and it could only pop out of the closet door, hit me in the chest and fall to the floor. And I go, oh, thank you, universe. Thank you, right? That's the key though, thanking, being thankful, being grateful. Hey, that wire hanger came out. It was the best thing. And you know what? When I was done with it, because I had made a nice little hook with it and everything, and I straightened the whole thing out and then clipped it, I put it under the sink. So if, God forbid, I know I'll never need it again, but if, God forbid, I needed it again, it's under the sink and now I know where it is, right? That'll be the only wire hanger on the planet, okay? So I thought that that was interesting. That was one little thing that happened. Then 2 days ago, running errands on Monday in between client sessions, and Beth and I decided, she's off Monday, I work, I decided, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to tag along because I have 2 hours to spare. So let's go get these errands done. And now, you know, we live near the hospital over here, right? Stony Brook Hospital. So we live near the hospital and not right near the hospital, but a good enough distance away from it that we're not involved in the traffic, but not far enough away, like not towns away, that I can hear an ambulance, right, coming or whatever. And so we're driving, it's middle of day, driving down Nisconsin Highway. And it's one of these days where there's no cars. I'm like, we're totally in 5D. There's like no cars. And usually it's like a parking lot. No matter what time of day you're driving, it's like a parking lot. So I said, we're definitely in 5D. What's going on? And then we hear a siren, right? And we hear the siren and you got to look because everybody drives crazy and I don't want to get hit by anybody trying to move out of the way for the siren. So I'm going to be responsible. So we're both looking, don't see anything behind us. And then all of a sudden we both see the lights on the opposite side of the road coming this way, right? But there's a divider in the middle. We both see the lights and there's no cars. There's one car that's almost behind the ambulance, but there's no cars on that side of the road. And I look at the ambulance and I said to Beth, does that look like it stopped in the middle of the road? And she's like, I was just going to ask you the same thing. Now we're driving and we're getting closer to it. And this ambulance, the sirens are blaring. It's blaring, but it's also not moving anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It looks like it should be because it's a little blurred. It looks like it shouldn't be moving. And I said, I think that's a glitch in the matrix. And the minute I said that, it was like, it engaged and the ambulance started moving. And she was like, did you see that? I was like, did you see that? And there goes the ambulance. Okay. Now, this is what we're going to experience. You're going to experience this because you have to, because it has to happen, because the matrix is breaking down. It's not sustainable anymore. And for the most part, and this is important to keep in mind, we've talked about this before, but this is so important. Everything is going to look the same, right? And I said this maybe 2 years ago, that you're going to go outside the house. And I want you to start thinking this. That's my 5D tree. That's my 5D car. That's my 5D house. That's my 5D fire hydrant. That's my 5D lawnmower. That's my 5D birds. Oh, look, I have 5D squirrels. I have 5D whatever, right? Spiders, whatever. Start getting in the habit of thinking of that, my 5D sky, right? Get rid of the chemtrail thing. We know that they're up there, right? But we have got to use them differently. We have to see them differently. We have to see them in a different light. because every time we look at a chemtrail and go, oh, look at that, they're spraying again, I wonder what's going to happen with the weather, then we're plummeting into 3D, right? So we don't want to do that. We want to keep it high. We want to keep it as high as we possibly can. The more we do that, the more we're going to feel it. We're going to feel it before we see it. Why? Because the third eye has to come online. Why? Because we've done such a great job being empaths that now we know how to feel. We know the feelies of things, right? So you're going to feel it before you see it. Because until that third eye comes on, you're not going to see it. You got to feel it, right? So that's another way. Another way, I talk about this too. I'm very, very lucid at night in my dreams. As a matter of fact, 99.9% of the time, I will tell you, I did not sleep it at all at night. But Beth's room is right there. My room is right there. The thing that separates the two rooms is a closet, the hall closet, the linen closet, right? Her door is here. My door is here. So when she comes out of her bedroom, she's passing my room, or we go in and we're passing each other's rooms, right? And she's like, you were sound asleep. I heard you. And I was like, no, I wasn't. I was awake the whole night, right? But it's this lucid state of dreaming that you feel like you're awake, but you're somewhere else. You're off doing something else. Last night was very interesting. This has been happening a lot. I woke up this morning with the awareness, very, very strong awareness, that I was making some kind of herbal concoctions. And I had all of these beakers, like beakers I don't even own yet, right? I have some beakers, but I don't have a lot of beakers. But I had all of these beakers that I don't even own yet. And I was formulating these all different kinds of things, right? Like a real little chemistry lab that was there. And I was talking to somebody the whole time I was formulating. And when I woke up this morning, I thought to myself, that was interesting. I wonder who I was creating botanicals with, because it didn't feel like Beth. And then, you know, as it always does in my feed will scroll through and I look and, you know, if the first person pops up and I'm like, oh, maybe that was Sue, right? Thinking that. And then Sue messages me and she says, hey, do you know, I had a dream about you last night. You were in my dream. And I was like, oh, yes, it was you. We were formulating together. Thank you for validating that for me, because I needed to validate that, right? Because sometimes if I go to somebody and I'm like, hey, you were in my dream last night. We were formulating, we were doing this or whatever. It takes them by surprise, catches them off guard. So I don't really do that too much anymore. But if somebody's getting it and they come to me and tell me, then I will validate. Yes, we were formulating botanicals last night. Isn't that amazing, right? Well, that's the beauty of the connection of these higher timelines. Now, that is already the 2024 timeline starting to move in. I mean, that could even be a 2025 timeline or a 2026 timeline moving in, right? That's what it's going to feel like. It's going to feel like that energy where it is evolving within itself, right? And then another thing that started happening all of a sudden, very randomly, because I'm in a house here where I have sand. The grass that grows is like, I don't know, zoysia or some kind of crabgrass or something like that. It's very sandy, the sand around here, a lot of ant hills, not really good for growing vegetables or anything like that or doing any gardening. I'd have to put raised beds. I'm not going to invest in that because I'm trying to send the university message that I'm ready to go. Come on, let's go. But I'm enjoying all of it while I'm here. But I know my time is coming that I'm going to be going, right? So I must be doing a really good job of calling in that homestead because like probably about 2 weeks ago, very randomly, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I started seeing, you know, and you guys know I've been doing a lot of cooking. I cook 6 days a week. The only night I don't cook is Saturday when we run out and we grab the groceries, because then I cook a big meal on Sunday. And but I cook every night of the week, right? All natural, organic, nothing out of a box, a bag, a can, none of that stuff, right? And so I've been really enjoying doing that. And then all of a sudden I started seeing, just happens to roll into my feed, sourdough bread, sourdough starters, sourdough starters, sourdough starters, sourdough starters, sourdough starters. And I started taking a look at it and going like, wow, that looks really interesting. What do you do? Like, how does that work? Right. Then I started Googling it. So I started Googling it because after seeing it 1,000 times, I'm like, okay, universe, I'm going to do a sourdough starter. I don't know what this is going to look like, but I'm going to try this. Right. So I decided to give it a shot. And, you know, my first attempt at it, I think the house was a little too cool. Probably I wasn't having the right consistency with it. And it was getting water on top one time, and then it was getting this alcohol kind of like a mixture on top of it, right? And so I really had to do a deep dive and like jump all in, The universe was like, no, you're not getting this easy. You're going to have to really get in this, right? So I had to get my feet wet in it. And then the next thing I know, having a session with Holly, and I don't know why I felt compelled to share it with her, but I said to her, you know something exciting I'm doing right now that like I don't even understand it? I'm making a sourdough starter. And she's like, oh my God, I love sourdough. I make it all the time, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing I know, we start talking about sourdough starters and making sourdough and, you know, all of this stuff, like discard recipes from the discarded sourdough. And now I have two sourdough starters going, not just one, because the first one wasn't going. So I said, I'm not reading anybody else's stuff anymore. I'm going to reformulate this. I didn't throw it away. I kept it going. I'm like, come on, I know we could do this together. We could do this. And I'm like, I'm going to reformulate you. But just in case you don't want to take off, I'll make another one. I'll make another one with different flour and we'll see what happens. And I have both jars side by side on the counter. And I swear they love the connection with each other and the competition because they're both going crazy now, right? But I didn't plan that. I did not plan that. It just happened organically and naturally. And now I'm learning the consistency to making sourdough, right? Which is, I guess, what I needed to experience, because we all need to experience the same. So what I'm saying to you is you don't look at it if it's not working the first time, because maybe it means that you're reading too much what somebody else is saying you should do, and you got to take it back inside and do what, you know, what feels right for you, right? So then, of course, that's not enough. And the universe sent some pickling posts my way. So of course, I had to buy a pickling starter kit. And now I have 4 jars of pickles, pickling, okay? Because even though I can't plant vegetables yet because my backyard is not the right environment for it, I'm starting my homestead, I guess. And I've kind of turned over my kitchen. The whole kitchen is turned over, right? And if you came here, you would thought you were in Little House on the Prairie. And every, you know, it's just very different. It's very, very different. And so I said, you know, very interesting. I've been wanting to move. I've been wanting a mini farm. I want a place where I can hold retreats and we can all come together and just, you know, sing and dance under the light of the moon. And I'll make some really great food for all of us and we'll just have a party, right? And I thought, how awesome would that be? But apparently I'm calling in the homestead timeline without having to plant the vegetables because the other things are falling into place, right? And so what I want to say is, what I'm learning through the experience of this is that we're going to be tapping into new ways of creating, right? All new ways of creating, all new ways of working, okay? Because, you know, I've always been somebody that looked at barter and was like, you know, barter is a great thing. I love barter. Barter right now, of course, wouldn't pay the bills, right? Because we still have rent bills, electric bills, and car bills, and all kinds of stuff like that. But it is a great way to build community and connection, right? And get people together. And so we're going to be coming back to that again. So I'm not telling you this so that you go and you run and you start a community or start homesteading. I'm not telling you that. But what I'm telling you is I'm sharing this information with you because this is how my highest timeline is showing up for me. Okay. It's looking like something that feels very exciting for me because I do want to be in that farm environment where I can go out and plant all my vegetables and then plant a whole bunch of herbs. And if you come and see me, we're having food straight from the garden with a little bit of herb medicine and all of that sort of stuff, you know. Pay attention to what you're being called to. Pay attention to what is presenting in your reality, the connections that are coming through, where they're coming through. You know, I mentioned connecting with Sue in Dream State for the purpose of formulating botanicals, right? Now, she has her own botanical company. I just rolled out my botanical company. And if we look at that, again, there's the coming together and the sharing and the creation aspect of it, right? That is community. That's how we're going to be evolving. And again, maybe not now, maybe not even in 2024, but definitely as we start moving into 2025, 26, 27, we're going to start to see that more and more. It's going to show up in new ways of working your business, right? I know for some of you, things have changed and the business that you were doing is no longer in alignment with who you are and it has to go. It has to go because something new may be wanting to be birthed, right? There's a new timeline coming in. There's new opportunity presenting. There's new creative concepts at play. But if I kept looking at those homesteading videos and blowing them off because I don't have a garden that I can go out and till and hoe and grow vegetables in, because I'm not in a house that I could do that with. I certainly wouldn't want to tear up the backyard here to do that. I couldn't because it's all sand and it's not conducive to growing vegetables. But still, even if I could do it, it's not my backyard. But if I had blown off those homesteading videos, I wouldn't be pointing my internal compass in the direction that my path is wanting to take me, right? My path is like, come over here. I've got something for you. I think you're gonna like it. So it's really important for us not to get ahead with our thoughts because the mind can just take us in another direction and we're gonna miss the big picture, right? And I've had a couple of you counsel with me for these new endeavors, these new adventures that you're on, because something significant has changed in your reality. And you're like, hey, this doesn't seem to be working anymore. What am I missing? Right? This is how it looks. And sometimes it takes a lot of quiet. It takes quiet. It could take the bottom dropping out of your business or your work situation and you're not making money and you're stagnating. But if you're focused on the fact that you're not making money, if you're in woe, if you're, you know, feeling fear or anything like that, you're not sitting in receivership to the creator codes that you're birthing. So if that happens, get out in nature, go for a walk. Go to whatever your favorite hobby is and start doing that to rebirth those codes within you. Anytime we're focused on what is not, we are shutting things down. Cannot do that. Joe?
Oh, man. It's kind of all hitting me at once now. My captain's license, which is obviously the credentials to run my boat, went through the washing machine. I've taken it out of my backpack one time, mm-hmm. only once since I've had it. It went in my go bag, and that's the bag that goes with me every time I go fishing. One time, I'm like, I'm not carrying my whole backpack. We're going on a skiff. It's a small boat. There's only two of us. I'll just put it in my pocket. I never took it out of my pocket. I put it through the wash. So now I have to get replacement credentials. Mm-hmm. I went through my captain's school. They were missing a bunch of my paperwork. I had to refile all my paperwork with them. Mm-hmm. They got the paperwork to the Coast Guard. Now the Coast Guard is missing more of my paperwork. I have to refile that again. Now okay. The school won't help me. And they've been jerking me off about it. I'm like, whatever. I'll be fine with the credentials I have. When it's time to work out, it'll work out. I'm not going to sweat it. Every time I launch my boat, something else breaks on my trailer. Mm-hmm. I've rewelded and I've built almost a brand new trailer. And finally, I'm like, great. Nothing else could possibly go wrong. I pull my boat, the front of the trailer snaps off because I pulled the boat on a little crooked and I came in a little too hot and that broke. And I'm like, man, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, well, hold on a second. I'm like, maybe being a captain isn't what I'm supposed to be doing.
Or maybe you were giving it such a bad rap during that time and you weren't loving it enough that the universe took your captain's license away and said, how badly do you want it? How badly
See, do you want thing. It? I get caught up to like, is it how bad do you want it or is it time to let it go? Like, at like what point do you stop fighting and pushing it? Like, what point do you just accept it?
Well,
how do you
you go within and you look at that from within.
You look can't just give me the answer.
I'll give you the yes or no nod when you're on point with it, but I want you to do the work, because if I give you the answer, that's the easy way, right? But here's
I'm okay with that.
here's the thing. You have hated that job for a number of reasons. You've hated that responsibility for a number of reasons. And we're angry to it in many ways, which was emotions. Your license got washed up in the washing machine. Emotions, that's water, right? Maybe you decided now you're kind of loving being a captain and that you know, have that privilege and pleasure of being a captain. And now you're deciding you're going to go and you're going to do the credentials the right way. But you're seeing that somehow or another, you skated by and your credentials were not solidly in place, which means that had you gotten pulled over maybe and they checked your paperwork or something like that, there would have been problems, fines, headaches, whatever else, right? Maybe this is an opportunity for you to go back to the basics, file all of the paperwork that's necessary in a nice up-level way, right? Being nice to everybody you're coming in contact with instead of angry and frustrated with the situation, and getting your credentials in order from the highest way, right? So that when you get out on the water, everything is in vibrational alignment, because your whole business is in vibrational alignment now, because your license and credentials are in vibrational alignment, because there's no loopholes. There's nothing missing. That's another way of looking at it.
That's not a bad way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tamara?
After Joe said that, I started thinking the same thing. I've said it to you before. Like, I really started vitamals because I care. I didn't, you know, really make the ingredients, create them. Clay did, but it was my idea to do a children's vitamin water with these flavors,
mm-hmm.
because there isn't. And the whole purpose behind it is because I really care what kids eat. I'm so against, you know, I eat similar to you, the same
mm-hmm.
diet. I have everything organic, everything, you know, really clean eating. And, you know, there's so much junky, sugary beverages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess, you know, in a ninth dimension perspective, it doesn't matter if there's erythritol, what if you think that people are going to love your drink, like you said, they'll love it. But sometimes I'm saying, is this whole thing a mistake? Because it's wiping me out, like so much money. I know those are negative words, but I'm wondering, am I doing the right thing about going back to work? I feel it's the right thing, but I don't know what to do about the company, because it's just like at a standstill. It's just too many fees between the warehouse and Amazon
mm-hmm.
and everything else. So, well, I don't know.
You know, my perspective on this,
yes,
is everything started to turn south with vitamins the minute somebody had mentioned to you about the erythritol. That ended up being like a subliminal implant for you, where you could not get that out of your head. And so every time you think about vitamins, you are working with vitamins, you're wanting to connect on vitamins, what's in the back of your mind is the fact that erythritol in there, and it is in there, and someone said erythritol is bad. And the more you focus on that, the more people are going to show up saying erythritol is bad, which is what happened.
Yes.
So it's just like having a major illness. You know, Loretta has somebody that she works with who has ALS. She does yoga with him to help him stretch and elongate his muscles because he gets cramping. Right, Loretta? Yeah, it's cramping. He gets cramping. And one day she happened to be over there and she was working with him. And she said, when I leave, he's so good. He can do all of the movements. He could do downward dog. He could do everything. But then I come back the next week and he's in the same shape that I left him. You know, he's in the same shape that I got there last week, but I left him in such good shape. And then she started talking to him about, you know, what's going on with him. And he said to her, well, you know, the doctor said ALS is a progressive disease. So because Loretta's in the work, she said, yeah, but that doesn't have to be true for you. And his response was like, but no, you don't understand. The doctor said it's a progressive disease. It's only going to get worse. When we have something suggested to us, and it hits our field in a negative way, like the erythritol does, if we're not in a place that we can deflect it and be like, what do they know? They know nothing. I'm in 5D. I'm in 9D. I'm wherever, right? I know the deal. It doesn't matter because my people are out there and my people are going to show up for me and this product is going to get moving forward. And then the minute I have the capability, I'm going to reformulate this product into my standards, my fashion, because the formula was basically done for you. And now you know what you want because you have more experience and more knowledge. But that suggestion that erythritol is bad for you is the same exact thing as the doctor suggesting that you're never going to recover from ALS because it's a progressive disease. It's the same thing. Someone suggested to me when I was 11 and I got my period for the first time that I was going to gain weight because once you get your period, that's what you do, you gain weight. And the person that suggested that to me was a toothpick. The woman that lived across the street, a toothpick. Why would I believe that? Because I was young. I was taught to respect anybody older than me. And I was gullible to suggestions. And when you are gullible to suggestions, you end up with the consequences of those suggestions that you perceive to be true. Well, your knee is never going to recover. You're going to need to have knee surgery at some point. Or your hip is never going to get better. You're going to need to have hip surgery at some point. Well, you have astigmatism. They only get worse with age. So your eyes are only going to get worse. And you're going to need progressive glasses at some point. Okay. Suggestions are merely that. It's a suggestion. And if I could go back to my younger years and give myself the same advice that I am giving here, things would be a lot different, right? I wouldn't have had a problem with my weight. I might not be wearing glasses right now, but it's how I came in to play the game and how I came in to learn about myself and experience this journey and everything on it. So, Tamara, you can take this and make it the defeatism that sinks your company and puts you in a negative place emotionally, mentally, physically. Or you could take the tiger by the tail and say, you know what? I didn't realize that I was creating in 3D because somebody suggested to me that that's where I should be creating from. I know better. I know better because I know the product that I have is gold. And the reason that nobody is stepping forward to help me with it is because it wasn't birthed in 3D. It was birthed in 5D. And a majority of the population of the earth is not yet operating from 5D consciousness. There's nowhere, no possibility that they're even operating from a ninth dimensional consciousness. So if you want to claim 9D and put your vitals in 9D and start looking at your vitals as the most fantastic thing that's ever been created on the face of this earth, you will see that people would start tripping over themselves to help you and move vitamins along. But you're the one that has to believe that because right now you're playing into the suggestion that vitamins is no good because it has erythritol in it. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. Just like with the autoimmune, I'm not listening to them. I'm not taking the
That's
medicine.
correct.
Yes.
That's correct. We have to be responsible creators, and this is where it's going to count. We've been doing this work the last 3 years to bring us to this particular point in time. This is it, guys. We get to put everything that we know, everything that we learned into action and step into our best version of ourselves, hands down. It cannot be any other way unless you are choosing to play small. Yeah. You should be
Thank you.
celebrating yourself. Celebrate yourself. Celebrate yourselves that you are here. You are in such a small percentile of of humanity. A small percent. People can't receive you where you're at. They just can't. no matter what it is that you're doing, people are going to have a hard time. So if you haven't had the success that you desire, it's coming. It's coming. But you have to love yourself and have compassion and grace and ease. And when something is not working, or you have a day where you have no clients or no productivity or anything like that, pick up your knitting, your crocheting, your art projects, go for a walk in the woods, do something that brings you so much joy. Go see Joe. He'll take you out on the boat. Bring yourself so much joy that nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. Just because you feel that much joy.
Thank you.
You could do this.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Sue?
Everything is so connected now. It's so amazing. So this is for Tamara. So in Formula Botanica this week, we had the exact same situation. And so sodium lauryl sulfate, maybe some of you have heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten a bad rap. It's gotten bad marketing, basically. The reason that people don't like it is, for some reason, people decided that sulfur-containing components were bad. So surfactants, which make bubbles so people can cleanse things, a lot of them have sulfur-containing compounds in them. And like, it's a naturally derived product, and I use many different coconut-based surfactants. So it's about marketing, and that's what we're here for, right? To break down all of those things. So people need to be educated about your product these days. I just made a post today because I'm going to begin educating people about some of the ingredients in my products.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably go so far as to maybe talk about natural,
mm-hmm,
or organic, because we have so many mindsets when it comes to these things, and people don't educate themselves. And now the time is ripe to do this. So you educate those people. You educate your customers about erythritol. And they will come running to your product because it's so good, Tamara.
Yep.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Thank you. That's a good idea, though. I think I'm going to do a post about it.
Yes. Listen.
And Stevia, too.
It happens, right? I made a post on Twitter when I did my launch. And I posted, you know, this is my new botanicals company and blah, blah, blah. And somebody who follows me on Twitter, this woman, posted, oh my gosh, I love, you know, all natural products, all natural ingredients. Do you have a website? So I send her the website. Through the post, you know, this is post right out for all of Twitter to see. We're not doing it in DMs or anything. And the next thing I know, I said to her, you know, let me know if you have any questions. And of course she did. The next thing she sends me is, are your products gluten and vegan? Gluten-free and vegan. And I was like, okay, let me sit with that for a second and think about what that means, because my serum definitely doesn't have anything that's got gluten in it. None of my products have gluten in it. And then I realized, oh, my lip balm and my salve both have beeswax in them. So I responded. I was like, the only two products that I make that I wouldn't consider vegan friendly, according to the masses, not my opinion, but according to the masses, if you want to go there, is my lip balm and my salve, because they both contain beeswax. And as I was posting that and sharing that information, I was having all kinds of awareness that while we're compassionate to the bees, because I am very compassionate to the bees, and I would never use a product that was not harvested, you know, in a sustainable way, right? Or harmed any bees in the making or anything like that. I think people lose sight of the fact that, yeah, while a bee appears to be a living creature, it's a living entity that, for the most part, you know, has a heart because it flies. You could see it. It goes from flower to flower to flower. What about the plants that get harvested for the making of the plant medicine? They're not flitting around. They're not moving. Most of the time, they're not doing anything except waving in the wind. Yet, would we say that they don't have a right to survive because they're not a living entity? Of course they are. It's been proven that plants communicate to each other, just like trees communicate to each other. Mushrooms are the ecosystem of the world, right? They keep the soil composted and thriving. And as I started to think of this, I thought to myself, well, should I make a video? Yeah, I probably will at some point. Explaining to people that while you're thumping the vegan card on beeswax, just understand that plants are living conscious being too. And they also have a right to existence. And we're not harming a bee or killing a bee in the taking of the beeswax. Yes, we might be breaking down the comb, the honeycomb that they exist in. But as my understanding is, they migrate to a new hive, and then the old hive is harvested for the beeswax. But people are not educated in these processes. And like Sue said, it's up to us to educate people who maybe have been misinformed or misled in some way, shape, or form, so that they can be better educated as to the reality of things, right? So if I let this person suggest to me that my products are not ethical because I have beeswax in them, and there's, you know, bees are injured in some way, shape, or form, then I'm feeding the fodder of the 3D timeline, and I'm not bringing my botanicals into the ninth dimensional consciousness, right? If Sue is going to worry about what people say about the sodium lauryl sulfates in her product and succumb to the pressure of it and not use it in her ingredients when she knows that it is a sustainable ingredient that's harvested in an ethical way that's not toxic to the body, then she needs to be the one to educate people. And this is part of our responsibility as creators in these new higher level creator timelines. One of the things that's not working is these lower level paradigms where we have individual nucleuses. We have the vegans over here. We have the, what is that? The gluten-free people over here. We have the, what the heck is that diet that only, Atkins diet over here. We have this diet over here. We have the Mediterranean diet over here, right? Like, we have all of these groups of people that are wanting their way to be the best way. Well, how about if we let people just make a decision based on their own idea of what their life should be like and not try to superimpose our belief systems on anybody, right? But come from a place of education and allow people to have, you know, their own thoughts and ideas about the things that are important to them in their life, you know? And so educating people sometimes needs to take place so that people can understand maybe what they're tuning to or the part of the reality that they're experiencing isn't exactly as they're perceiving it to be because they've gotten that information from somebody that made a suggestion along the way and then they've taken it in without truly understanding how that came to be, right? Like if somebody is talking about, you know, beeswax not being ethical, right, or sustained, ethically sustained or harvested or anything like that. Well, are you going and looking to see through you know, research or whatever means, whether that's true or not? Are the bees harmed in the taking of the beeswax, right? So it's just stuff to think about as we're moving forward, that we're not playing into the fear factor or lowering ourselves in any way, shape, or form, especially when we're coming from a place of love in the creation that we're making, you know, bringing these offers to a much higher level in a higher evolved state of consciousness. Does that make sense to you guys? So no matter what it is that you're doing, right? No matter what it is, whether you're doing a podcast, you're doing a YouTube channel, you're, you know, becoming an artist and hanging your stuff in art galleries, or you're transitioning into a new way of working with people for their health and well-being, or you're making organic botanicals, or you're making a nutritional supplement for children or anybody, do it to the best of your ability. Bring it to the highest timeline. That's where we're headed in this next year, right? This coming year of 2024. We're going to be asked to take it up to the highest level. Birth the creation from the highest place within you. Stop paying attention to the fodder of the third dimension as it starts to drop away, because the people that are keeping that active and going, they're going with it. They're going to drop away with it. They can't, they are not going to be able to sustain themselves in the 5D frequencies. It's just not possible. So anybody that's not willing to shift or have new experiences are going to be exiting the earth plane, because the way that the shift is happening, it's not going to be that 3D is going anywhere, right? Because it's staying in that frequency until it fully collapses in on itself, but the rest of us are migrating to a new frequency where there will be less of us. So it will appear as if people are departing the earth plane. Okay. Because there has to be a shift, and not everybody is going to be transitioning to the higher frequencies. It's just not going to happen. All right. And that third dimensional reality eventually will just completely implode. It cannot be sustainable. And anybody that is still playing in that realm is going to be going with it, because it's got to collapse. The universe, the multiverse, the quantum field, whatever you want to call it, does not have sustainability for that low frequency anymore. So it's going to start to look chaotic. It's going to look very, very strange out there, you know, and things are going to happen. Don't get triggered by what you hear. Don't get triggered by what you think you're seeing. Remind yourself in each moment, this is the collapse of the matrix. This is the collapse of 3D. Okay? So important. It's so important. If you're needing that push into the highest place within you, look for numbers, look for your codes, look for signs, look for things that are going to help anchor you more and more and more into these higher states for your own creation. Okay? If you find yourself getting sad, let yourself feel it. Be sad. It's okay. It's old energies pulling out. Don't fight it. Let it go. It cannot be sustained. Just let it go. Okay? Anybody have any questions? I think we're going to end here. Anybody have anything, any questions, any comments, anything you want to share? Joanne?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay, I just want to say, you know, I see a lot of numbers a lot of times. I guess that's a good thing.
Yep.
It's a good thing. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On a daily basis.
Yes, because as you are shifting, sifting, and sorting these frequencies, vacillating in and out of the lower as you come into the higher until you can sustain more of the higher, the codes help you. The numbers help you. So let yourself see them and be pulled back into the higher reality through them.
Okay. And always say thank you for seeing them, right? That's important.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Maria. I guess I don't want to take them for granted ever.
No, so. I always say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I acknowledge all the time. You know, our birthday, whatever your month and your day is, that's another activation. Look for that. 9/11.
See it all the time.
Yeah, 9/11 is super code right now as we're clearing out the codes for the real 9/11 that happened on 9/11.
Okay.
We're reformulating that negativity, clearing it out of the field, like clearing it out of the field of humanity too, so that they can move on.
Okay.
144, the 144 avatar consciousness, Christ consciousness, and 333 Christ consciousness. Those are anchors for consciousness anchors.
A lot of times it's four numbers I see too.
Right?
There's
oh, good.
Four numbers.
Good.
But it makes, you know what? It does make me feel good. It makes me
good.
Feel good.
Good.
Thank you.
If it makes you feel good, keep doing it because it's keeping you on that higher timeline. So keep doing it.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Alicia?
I wanted to share with the class, you know, what I sent you about feeling like I had spatters and the itchiness down
mm-hmm.
with the base of my spine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, that, you know, when we can have. So when Kundalini is activating, because that's a Kundalini activation, right? When Kundalini is activating and we get these little spurts of Kundalini activation, I went through this too myself. And for the longest time, Kundalini, it activates in many different ways, okay? And right now, there's no filter. I'm just going to say it, right? So we're going to talk about a couple of different ways it activates so that you guys know, just in case it's happening to you too, okay? Because Kundalini is in a very sexual place, right? The tailbone is in the spine, which is in the sexual organs area. Many times it can actually feel like stimulation, like as if you were having foreplay and you're getting that stimulation, right? Whether you're a guy or a girl, it does not matter. And you're getting that like heightened arousal, right? Well, all of a sudden, and you'll feel it. You're going to feel it like you're getting aroused. You're like, ooh, well, what's going on, right? So that's one way that you're going to feel like you're, you know, you're going to be like, oh, what is going on here? Now, it'll keep doing that until it rises enough and then it connects up into the heart center and can rise up further. Most people will have gentle Kundalini activations, right? It'll just keep activating until it goes up and up. And the best thing when it's happening is to just, if you can, if you're someplace where you can, close your eyes, just sit back, just relax, and just feel it. Let yourself feel it, right? Because sometimes when we're getting that and it feels like excitement or arousal, we want to stop it because we're not in a place to receive that, or we think it's something wrong or whatever. Just let yourself experience it, okay? Because that's you activating your Kundalini. Now, It can shock you, and it could happen during a massage, right? You're getting a massage from somebody, you go for a massage, and all of a sudden you're feeling aroused, Kundalini is activating. You go for a pedicure and your Kundalini activates, you're in the chair and you are feeling your Kundalini activating, right? This is gonna happen. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it's probably gonna happen to you at some point, because this is how it works. When Kundalini is activating, it's the serpent coming up the spine, right? It's divine feminine, divine masculine coming into the merger of one, and it's aligning fire energy through us, right? It has to activate that way. But the more you pay attention to it, I had a lot of this in 2017 when I was clearing the cyst that I had, right? Which, when I cleared that cyst, humanity came into the patriarchal abusive powers through the sex portal, through the degenerative sex portal, right? With Harvey Weinstein and all of that, right? Started to come out in the news that needed to be cleared. Okay, so for the divine feminine, for all women on the planet, I was using my body two times, once for cancer, well, both times, twice for cancer, and once with the Bartholin cyst to clear that sexual distortion so that it could come up and clear and be brought to the surface. And now it's finally coming into its culmination, its ending. Okay. But it could feel very uncomfortable. And you could be driving and then you feel the arousal and then it stops. And then you feel it and stops, right? It's going to happen in all different ways. It might feel like tickling. It might feel like you might feel like you got something itchy going on, like you're like, oh, what is going on? But it's all Kundalini energy. Okay, so you need to allow yourself to go through the experience. Do not be afraid of it. Do not be uncomfortable about it. It is just part of our innate process. If Kundalini was to activate in the state of an awakening, that's a whole nother ball game, because when somebody goes through a spontaneous Kundalini awakening, it's like lightning bolts are hitting you. Usually you go into a state where you are unable to function. You might feel like you're having a heart attack. You'll feel a huge amount of electricity going through your body. Usually you're incapacitated for days, if not weeks. Okay, so it's two different things. So you have Kundalini awakening, which is what we were talking about first, and then that other that I was talking about with the lightning and the electricity, that's a spontaneous Kundalini awakening. It just pops you open. You're awake, totally online. Everything is online in that moment. Okay. You're seeing through walls, like everything is online. Okay. So expect it, because the more you awaken and the more you do your work, the more it's going to happen. Okay. Does that make sense, Alicia?
It does. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Jill?
I'm back. Let me move you over so I'm looking at you and not something else. Okay, so we're talking about numbers. And I know that I reached out to you and I said I'm seeing 333. Now, all of a sudden, in the last couple of days, I'm seeing 111 and 555. Repeatedly.
Okay,
So I
so
feel like, yeah, so go ahead and give me your
ahead. What were you
thoughts.
gonna say? So you feel like
That message to me says, watch what you're thinking and putting out there because there's a lot of change coming your way.
yeah, and also ones. I think I made a video on this. I know we talked about this a long time back, probably in the first year that we were doing this community. But ones are actually a clarion call. So whenever we see ones, You could look at it as an activation, right? In binary code, a zero would be like the light switch off, right? So it's the switching off of something, so there's no power given to it. But the one, the number one, is the switch on, so it gets the power to it. So when we see 111 or 111, 1111, it's always going to have the energy of a clarion call, which is calling us to duty. It's calling us to action. Okay. So it's asking us to pay attention because, as you said with the fives, change is coming. And we need to pay attention because we are anchors for these higher frequencies.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it explains, like you were talking about your lucid dreaming earlier and all of that. And I've been having a lot of higher level dreams lately. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah. The ones are the switches on, so they're activating something within us. So when you see something like that, I would see something like that, I would go, thank you for that. I got this, right? Thank you. I got this. Taking it in, acknowledging it, claiming it. You know, I got this, right? It's the best thing you could do. So,
Okay.
because we want to activate those codes, we want to allow ourselves to participate in the way that we're speaking it in, we're claiming it in, we're calling it in, and then see what's presenting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will
And now you get
definitely
on the call tonight, and the first thing I say to you is change is coming. Right, there's big changes coming, and some of
do.
it may look very chaotic, and although it's not, but it'll look very chaotic, right? We have to just be present to be like, okay, that's the illusion out there, it's playing out, it's rolling down, it's this is that, you know. I'm not playing into it
It's
because.
interesting to me because my and like mo I would say 98, maybe 85, let's not say 90, but 85% of the time I'm just in my own bubble in my own world. I work from home. I'm here most of the time. And every once in a while I'll go into town and I'm like, okay, I have people today, time to go back home. I don't really pay too much attention to what's playing out there. But I feel like that's a good thing because then I'm able to just hold my energy. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Welcome. Yeah, everything is here to help us. We have to remember that. Okay. Anybody else before we go? Lauren?
Hi, Maria. Hi, everybody.
How are you? Hi.
Good, how are you? I've been feeling just like kind of out of sorts and having to continue to remind myself to be present and conscious of like what is happening. I've been experiencing like a lot of like discomfort and upset stomach. And then my daughter's been throwing up recently, like the last couple of weeks, she's thrown up several times. I've been having like lots of different things going on in my stomach. And then last week, here in Texas, it's been so hot. We have a pond in the yard. Every few days, I would fill it with some water because we have fish in the pond. One day, I filled up the pond like a little too much, and then all the fish ended up passing away. And so it's been like things like that happening, and I just feel out of sorts. And so, and also too, I've been seeing like 144 a lot and 222. And so I definitely have been like conscious of seeing repeating numbers too. And I've been like just feeling like anxious, like can't sleep some nights. It's just been like a weird little phase.
Okay, so practice more heart-centeredness, right? The goldfish were ready to go. I wouldn't give too much thought into that. You helped liberate them. They came in as a group. They went out as a group. They're part of the shift too. So they need to move on. And as far as the vomiting and stuff, vomiting is whenever we have vomiting, it's always the deepest programming that's tied to, you know, whatever. Now, it's not, it doesn't feel like it's your daughter's. It feels like maybe she's helping clear some stuff for you. But too traumatic for you to do that and try to look after her at the same time. So you looking after her is easier for you, which in essence is you giving compassion to yourself in a sense, if you think about us being everybody and everything, all is one. So it's about you bringing yourself more compassion too. Stomach gurgles, we're going to get that. The digestive issues and all of that sort of stuff, we're going to have that because these codes are super, super high, which is why we have to nourish ourselves and make sure we're taking time for what we need. Does that make sense? Yeah. So practice coming back into your heart and just making some time to just be within your heart center. When you're laying down at night, if you can't sleep, do the exercise where you breathe into your heart as you're laying down. You ask to be on the highest timeline, slow the momentum of your thoughts, and ask for new realities in the morning. Did she go? Oh, there you are. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, that does. Thank you.
Keep doing
I will
that,
do that.
though. You have to keep doing that. This way, when you're laying down, you're raising yourself into higher because we forget that and we carry the day's garbage into the night with us. We don't want to do that. Okay, so slow the momentum of your thoughts. And ask to be on your highest timeline, and then ask for new realities the next day.
Okay. Thank you, Maria.
You're welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Tamara?
Same thing. I see the numbers. I think I told you. I always take screenshots of them. And I say I'm thankful for things, for trying to be more present. But I see the 911 a lot. 911, 144, 333. Two, two,
Yeah.
two, five, 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 everything, every day I see, honestly.
Good. Good. They're trying to keep you in vibrational alignment. Use them to keep you in the higher timelines.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Awesome class, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, guys. I think we are going to say good night. If you want to say good night, please feel free to unmute.
Hey, everybody.
Good night.
Good
Night.
night, everybody.
Good night,
Thank
yes.
you, Maria. Have a great weekend and a great week.
Night, everybody.
Calendar is in the dashboard. All right. I will see you in the next class. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.